Let's read from chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. Beginning at the first verse, it says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Chapter 6, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slumpful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." All right. I want you to especially notice in the 5th chapter, it said, "Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." A lot of times, you know, we don't want to suffer. Paul, in his writings, he said, "Equip thyself with a mind to suffer. For he said, they that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. And we were taught to mortify the deeds of the body, and that we are to present our bodies, remember, our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day." Now, we're living in a day where people will not do this. This is the one thing that we find that people will not do in the day that we're living in. Years ago, people, they accepted the scripture as to sacrifice one as to the outer man, that the inner man as to the other might live. But today, it's not that way at all. They choose to be very religious and sacrifice the inner man that the outer man may continue in its heights of glory and praise in the worldly attire and the glitter and glamour of this natural life. And so then they go after education, and they go after pride, and they go after the glamours of the world, and they leave off with God. They want the riches, they want the convenience, they want all of the things of the world, and they want to leave off with God. And they want to walk out into the shadows of life. Out into the shadows of life. Or that is, they want to get as far out into the natural things of life as they can and still hold on to the light or the Word of God. Whereas that is utterly impossible. You cannot do that. There is no such thing as mixing light with darkness. Wherever light comes, darkness is automatically expelled and it's gone. Light automatically does away with darkness. And wherever you let light in, there is no darkness. And the brighter the light, the less the shadow, as to the strength of the shadow. And you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have a little bit of the world and a little bit of God. People who have this idea are all together misput in their minds. You cannot have, I repeat, you cannot have a little bit of the world and a little bit of God. You cannot have that. God will not have you. You cannot have that. A lot of people feel like, well, some people just aren't going as far into the things of God as somebody else, Brother Pike, and that means that they'll have a little bit of the world and a little bit of heaven, and some people, they'll have more of God, you know, and less as it is as to the reward of the world, or they'll have more of the world and it's less as to what it would be of God. And that's true to this extent, that if you're doing your very best to reach 100-fold with God, and if you happen to stumble, if you cannot obtain unto it, if your strength is not so much as you can obtain unto it, whereby you're given this right in God to go on to the full measure, the full stature, depending on the self-denial. But if you cannot do it when you're really trying, then it's true that God will not cast you out. He will give you a reward. He will give you whether 30-fold, whether 60-fold, whether 100-fold. See, but if you're trying to hold a little bit with God and a little bit with the world, God will not give you anything with God. Not anything. You do not get anything at all. The mere fact that you even look back into the world, the Bible teaches that God cuts you off and you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Immediately when you look back into the world, you're just automatically cut off. The Bible said, no man having put his hands to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Or that is to say, the Bible said, in many of them that came out of Egypt, with them God was not well pleased, for they turned back into Egypt in their heart. So then with this call of the gospel that's going out around the world, there's hundreds and millions of people that are coming out of the world to the extent of being religious. But the whole time that they're coming out, they are looking back into the world. Like I said, it's the people that's coming out of ball games, great celebrities. They're coming out of great places as to being dignitaries and celebrities of the world. They're coming out, but when they get religious, then they look back into those things, and they turn back into those things in their hearts, and then they're confident that they have God and they have eternal life, and now they're trying to drag the world in with them. But I can tell you, as of a truth, those people do not have eternal life. They are believers, but if you believe there's one God, the devil believes that too. But he doesn't have salvation. So then those people do not have God. Now, the way to evaluate is like this. Someone would say, well, can you prove that ball games and such as to the frolics of the world, as to those things of gullible desire that you title as things of the world, can you prove that those things really are of the world, Brother Pike, and of not of God? Well, just stop, think, reason just a little bit. The Bible said, come and let us reason together as to the Word. Come to the Word and reason with the Word. Didn't Jesus send to Peter as to say, get thee behind me, Satan, thou savest the things that be of the flesh and not the things that be of God? Is a ball game of the spirit, or is it of the flesh? Did it come from God's word, or did it come from a Christian? Or did it come from natural desire and natural activity and the exuberance of the natural man? Does the frolics, as those things that we have enumerated, as to going out to Six Flags and the things of the world, as to these worldly things, is that of the spirit or is that of the flesh? All of these things as to eat and drink and to frolic, and when I say that with this allowance, God knows that we have to eat. We have to have the substance of the world as to food and to drink to survive. But at the same time, we still do too much of that. David said in his day, let their table become a snare unto them. See, and even Jesus, when they said, who hath given him to eat? He did not have anything to eat. And they were so disturbed about it. And they said, you need to eat something. He said, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So then, when you think of ball games and when you think of the races and when you think of the dances and when you think of the frolics and you think of the shows and the movies and all the things, where it be people singing or putting on stage shows or whatever, then is that of the world or is that of God? I think one of the most deceitful things that we've got in this day is when Satan cunningly slipped in to music and began to pervert the word of God in song, and they have the anointing of the devil with it. I said the other night, even as Satan quoted the word to Jesus, though it was the word, it was Satan, the devil himself, the spirit anointing of the devil that was bringing that forth to try to use that to deceive and destroy the Lord Jesus with, even the word himself. And see, these things are creeping in. The devil has tried every way that he could to take this world, and he has taken it. He testified to Jesus that I'm the prince of this world. It's given to me. I'll do whatever I will with it. Jesus acknowledged that he was the prince of the world. Even though he'd given it to Adam, yet Satan wrestled it out of his hand. And today they do what they want to. They have their little ecclesiastical cliques. They have their places in their government. They have their laws. And they're the rulers and controllers of this world. And the whole system of the world is of the devil. And they do what they want to. And they set the standards of life. And then they force you to submit to their standards with the gun or by force. Whereas the Bible said, the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. And the Bible said, and the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence taketh it by force. And so then the church today, it's under the control of Lucifer to the extent that it's in the world, and yet it's not under the control of Lucifer, in that God is within the church, and someday the saints shall rise and take the kingdom, even the kingdoms of this world, in that they've already taken the kingdom of God, which is within them, and they'll rule the world, and they'll drive the squatters off of their land by running a spiritual abstract, and then the devil and all of their people, the law and the government, and all of them are of the devil, and it's a system of the devil, and they've got control of the world. For the Bible says concerning the word of God that the government is to be upon the shoulders of the sons of God. We're the ones that's to decide what is right and what is not right. They're not capable of deciding what is right and what is not right. Is an insane man or woman capable of deciding what is right and what is wrong? Those people are clear out of their reasoning. They don't even have good understanding. The Bible said that they cannot even see when good comes. But yet we're subjected to that power of evil and that power of ignorance and that power of darkness. See, to the extent that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're born of God. So then this is the thing that we are competing with in the world. And there is a religious society throughout the entire world that caters to the natural things of this world. And they are attached to these things and they relate to these things. And they try to subdue you and I to these things and tell us that we're not very prestigious and we're not very popular and we are ignorant and we are the abase of the world. But it's just on the other hand, where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. They're the one that's ignorant and they're the ones that's abased and they're the basis thought of life that's ignorant, that's contrary to God. And someday God will completely relieve himself of all of this problem by a complete annihilation and an eradication from the earth. For he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So it's very evident that by this we can see that God is beginning to run as abstract, and he is not satisfied with the wicked. For many of them that came out of Egypt, they turned back into Egypt in their heart. That is to say, not everyone that came out of Egypt shall be saved, or not everyone that came out of Egypt as to being called the seed of Israel was of Israel. But the Bible said in Isaac, even the promised son, so shall the seed be called. And the Bible also says that when the time came, the promise drew near. And at the coming of the time of the promise, as it drew near, as to the son, or the seed as to whom the promise was made, when it drew near, then at this time God, looking down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, and the Bible said he translated men into the marvelous kingdom of God. At that time, he said, and this is the fullness of time, and I will send forth my son in the fullness of time, made of a woman and made under the law, to gather all things in heaven and earth into my son, even as when the world passed away in the days of Noah, when God sent Noah, a man of God, to gather all things into the ark, that he might destroy everything except that that was in the ark and start a new world. So then God, when he has finished taking everything into the body of the Lord Jesus, when it's completed as down through the church ages, then all of a sudden the great tribulation of God's wrath is going to be poured out, and this great wonderful ship of God is going to ride over the tribulation period from this world into the new world, as to say that which is the millennium earth, all the restored earth, and at that time God is going to completely eradicate everything that's in this world and this dimension as of now. And everybody will be completely swallowed up and destroyed by the flood, and only those that have been baptized into Christ Jesus will survive to be on the other side, to where God will start a new world with the new people. So it's very obvious as to what the Lord is saying to us here through the book of Hebrews. Let us go on to be perfect. Do you want a partial reward? Do you want a full reward? Should we then go on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus? Let us go on to be perfect, even as our Lord is perfect. For every man that be perfect shall be as his master, and no man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And Jesus said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcame, and I am set down in the throne with my Father. And so then we know that we can go on to be perfect. We can go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And I say this again, as to that, we as the ministry, we're sent to make you perfect. And the perfection is this, we wish even this, the Bible teaches, the perfecting of your faith. For it says the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints of God, which means the perfecting of the faith of the saints of God. For there's nothing that I can do or anyone can do to perfect you as to what you do in your daily activities. I have no ability to perfect you in your daily activities toward God. If you'll notice, I read here that this is an ordination, a priesthood, as to the high priest, even the Lord Jesus Christ, as one and only, that he is the one that can feel the feeling of your infirmities, as those that are out of the way in your stumblings and staggerings. And through this, he makes intercession. The Bible said, as the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, searching the heart, knowing what is the desire of the heart, he maketh intercession with God, between God the great Spirit and your inner man, as the Spirit Spirit, he maketh intercession as the Christ Spirit to search the heart, to know the mind of the heart, that he might make intercession for you in groans and moans that cannot be uttered by your own vocal expressions. And God rewards you and looks after you accordingly. So then God hath perfected forever, or made perfect forever, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus by offering up the body of the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb, that you may be perfect in his sight forever. That he would never again look at your faulty ways and your faulty body and your stumblings and staggering, but that he always would look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and that every time that you stumble and stagger, you just go to your high priest, which is the Son of God. You go to the high priest, which is at Calvary, and you come to Calvary as the great altar of the evening time, and you make your repentance before Christ, and Christ annuls your wrong and says that's all right. Because in the Old Testament, the man had the right to annul that as to the woman, because she's considered the weaker vessel. And so then he says, I annul it. It's not to be. And so then by Christ the perfection, then is the woman perfected as to the man, in that they are one, and whatever the man is, so is the woman in the man. And so then in Christ Jesus, then are we perfect. And the Bible said, in Christ, then are we complete. For we are complete in him. So then this means that as the male gives to the female an honor as unto the weaker vessel, or making allowance for her stumblings and staggerings, and him being strong and courageous to hold himself aright, then so has Jesus done the same for us. See, Adam was not in the transgression, but Eve was in the transgression. And Adam willingly took the briars and the thorns as to the travail of life, that he might provide for Eve during this time of her crisis. And so then Jesus, the second man, Adam, coming down amid the thorns as to the persecutions of Calvary and the suffering of the nails, he came down. He was not in the transgression, but the body was in the transgression. As to the spirit, it was not in the transgression, but the person, as to the body, was in the transgression. And the spirit coming down, it come down to redeem at Calvary and restore the lost image. So then in Adam we lose the image as to the first Adam. We lose the image, and Adam takes on the image of the woman as to the feminine part, as to that of the beast. And so then in Adam all die, because all are of the beast, and the image that you now have in your first birth is the bastard child image, the image that God will despise in the morning at the change. Unless you go through the change, as to the change of the body, as to the image that is restored at Calvary through Christ Jesus our sacrifice. So then that's why the Bible said, bury the body in the name of the Lord Jesus, as to be buried in water to do away with that body of death, and then be baptized into the Lord Jesus by putting on Christ Jesus. For as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and then the covering that you now have is the covering of his glory. So then man, being made in the image of God in the garden, he was made in the image of God as to the glory of God, as the glory of God illuminated man, which was the covering of his glory. But when man fell from the image of that covering, he fell to the worldly image, as to the sparkle and glitter of this life, to the desire of this life, to the ambitions of this life. And today his glory is that of the world. And Jesus said, you cover with the covering, but it's not of me. Or that is, you have a body as to the image of the beast, as that of death. And it's that of the glory of the world, but not as unto the glory of God. But this image that you've lost, I'm going to restore it to you at Calvary. And this covering as to my body shall be again my covering as to my body, covering your spirit, or your spirit transferred by the washing of regeneration from the old body of the beast into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This life that was lost from Adam into the woman, which was the beast's body, As to that, she subjecting herself to that shall be taken out of the feminine perspective and brought back into the masculine perspective, that you may be sons of God, that in God there's neither male nor female. And that with this the flesh shall die as to the natural, and God shall make you to be his own body. For the Bible said, we know not what he looks like as to natural appearance, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we have this hope in us as to that purifying of our spirit and the change of the body. And everyone that hath this hope within him shall be purified and shall be changed at his coming into his glorious likeness. So then put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the from the very minute that you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Heavenly Father sees you throughout your lifetime over to the change, and to the Thessalonian change, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though you cannot see each other as to your natural eyes, yet spiritually you see each other as the body of Christ and the members in particular, and you do not see them as the flesh, because you do not know them after the flesh, because you're not of the flesh, you're not in the flesh. You've been chosen out of the flesh, and you're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. So then the old world has passed away. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. And I'm not what I was in my first birth, but I am now what I am forever by the grace of God in my second birth, forever to be. And you know, folks, we need to live holy, and we need to do holy. We need to be godly, and we need to be pure. And I'm going to say this for your benefit. I'm going to say this for your help. And them that are guilty, they know. Like the other day when I heard of a married man that's sitting to my left, which I know for sure has that kind of problem and has known it ever since. I've had it ever since I've known him. Setting up at the cafe, there is a girl come over to serve them that somebody happened to be sitting with him and said that it shocked them when they realized that the man was actually catering to the woman as to drawing her to his spirit in that of the things that he said there to her. And the man that was with him was literally shocked. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When an individual does that, they do not have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And they do not have the kingdom of God on the inside. And they will not make it into the kingdom of God. No matter what they do, they'll never make it into the kingdom of God in that kind of condition. That is wrong. That is evil. That is ungodly. And that is unfair to your companion. And you have no right to do that. And that is altogether wrong. And when a woman does that, she is wrong. And when a man does that, he is wrong. And neither one of them should have that kind of atmosphere about them anyway, because they are children of God. They are sons of God. They're not supposed to be given to devils of lust and devils of frolic and devils of the desire of the world. They're supposed to be clean and they're supposed to be holy. They're not supposed to be watching the movies and the television and all these kind of things, of these things as to natural things, as up to the world, as to the gullible desires of the flesh and all of these kind of things, and reading books and magazines and papers and whatever you might have. They're not supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be withdrawn into following the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So then he was completely without sin as to be our propitiation for sin and to be our advocate to the Father. So when you do this, when you take this outlook, it's a positive proof that you have the wrong spirit. And if you have the wrong spirit, then you do not have the right spirit, because darkness and light will not dwell together. And when you do these things, the Bible said, if you look as to a man or a woman after the opposite sex, to lust after them, you've committed adultery with them already in your heart. See, now, I personally have no confidence in the flesh. I don't have any confidence in my wife. I don't have any confidence in my children. I don't have any confidence in my parents. I don't have any confidence in myself. I don't have any confidence in anybody I've ever met, ever before, now, or ever will meet, because I have no confidence in the flesh. The Bible said, we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. Jesus confessed that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So then what is a good recommendation for the flesh? Kill it. Take it to Calvary. Don't have anything to do with it. Somebody said, well, I don't feel that way about my mother and my brothers and my sisters and my neighbors and my friends and whatever. Well, it's your business. You know, everybody can feel the way they want to feel. I didn't tell you that that's the way you felt. I said, that's the way I feel. That's the way I live. That's the way I think. That's the way I am. See, I have seen in every form of flesh weakness. I've seen every phase of life, I've seen weakness in that phase of life. And I've learned that you cannot trust any living human being, not even your own self. You cannot do it. So then, that will make you bitter. That will make you hate people. That will make you hate your own companion. That will make you hate your brother, your sister. You will get hurt. You'll have some association with them. And you'll break into tears and you'll hurt. And you'll feel betrayed. And then you're going to be in bad shape. But if you don't have any confidence in them to begin with, then you will not place your affection on them. The Bible said, place not your affection upon things of this world, where thieves break through and steal, and where moth doth corrupt. For wherever your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. The devil is the thief and a robber. He steals virtues. He steals health. He steals peace. He steals your monetary values. He steals all that you've got. He'll steal your children. He'll steal your loved ones. See, and he'll leave you a total wreck. But when you don't have any confidence whatsoever in anything except Christ Jesus, then you're all right. If I see a little bit of Christ in my life, I trust my life that little Christ worth. If I see it in my companion, I trust it Christ's worth. If I see it in my loved ones, I trust it Christ's worth. My evaluation then is proper, because if I see it in anyone, then I trust it just exactly according to the measure that I see in their life, and I love and adore that Christ in them, and beyond that, I don't have anything to do with any part of them at all to the best of my ability. I stay withdrawn from it, because I don't want anything in this world. If I was going to go after the things of this world, I would have started many years ago, and I would have never gotten into the ministry. I would have never preached the message that I'm preaching. I would have never preached old-time holiness and godliness and virtue. I would have just hit the tops of things, and I'd have been very religious, and I'd went on into the things of the world to where I could have reveled in the things of the world, and nobody could have put a finger on me, because I would not have ever preached anything for my congregation to have known that was right or whatever. And I would have successfully driven off anybody that had any good common sense as to what was right and wrong. I'd have kept them away, so I could have kept my congregation blind and went on with my frolics if I'd have been going to get into religion. Otherwise, I would have been the way I think that I would have been. I'd have stayed away from religion to begin with. I wouldn't have had no part of religion to start with. I just went on with my frolics in the world and whatever come to hand, and that would have been my life. Because I'm the kind of person that I can't get over things like that. If I try to fit those things together, if I see a betrayal in a person or in my companion or in my family or loved ones or friends, whatever, and I see it, I cannot get over that. I cannot make adjustments and bring that in and still go right on loving them in the sense of saying, well, they're all right, nothing wrong with them, and I didn't really see that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't deal with that kind of thing. I have to acknowledge if it's black, it's black. If it's white, it's white. And I can love over it. I can love over it to the extent I could go on and love them no matter how much they stagger, no matter how much they stumble. I can go on and love them and love them with a God love as Jesus did, to make allowance, to try to help them, to tutor them, and to never bother them with it. I'll try to go on and do that to the best of my ability, but to accept them then as I would ordinarily, as I would if they didn't have any wrong in their life, as to love and to put my affection upon them and to be attracted to them and to love them in that way, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I'm just not made to do that. And if you're made to do that, that's fine. But I ain't made to do that. All right, so then I try to look at a thing just the way that it is. I try to have a God love. I try to go on using that God love, But when I see the things as to the stigmas of life, as to these things that are in the flesh, and I know that they're wrong, from that time on, I mark that thing and I never mess with it again. Because I know that it's there. One person will have one thing in their life, another person will have another thing in their life, and it's like diseases. One is cancer, one is TB, one has heart condition, some other person has a chronic disease. They are chronic as to it is a continuation with them, you know. And some people need medical care as to one source, and some needs it as to another source. Some needs it continually. Somebody has to be with them continually and care for them. And so it is with the Spirit. I try my best to give myself to that, that I might help humanity and aid humanity in these things, but I don't want any part of their wrong as to their diseases or the things that they've got. I take great precautions, as it should be with any medical person or nursing person that's trying to watch over people, especially with a contagious disease. I try to withdraw from that. And I don't like to do anything that will dwarf myself in God. A lot of people dwarf themselves in God, and I don't want to dwarf myself in God, even though we do dwarf ourselves to a great extent, in that we don't really come to what we need to in God. But I'm trying. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which is to be like my master. For he said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And I prayed many times in my life, Lord, make me a perfect man in my generation. Not that I say that I'm perfect, Paul said, or that I've obtained unto, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, to be there for perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And I make a lot of mistakes and I stumble and I stagger, but I'm still pressing forward to be that kind of person. Even though I admit I'm a poor example as to my people, as a pastor, as to my children, as a father, as to my wife, as a husband, but still I try to press on. I'm still trying. I'm still making my effort and trusting God that he will make up for my shortcomings, to present me, as it is said, I am complete in Christ, and to present me perfect before the throne. All right, so let us go on to perfection. Let us not turn again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works, and of dead faith toward God, but let us go on to the doctrine of baptisms and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And these things we will do or produce in our life if God permit. All right. It is as it was with Peter and Paul. They spoke things to people, and immediately it was an eternal judgment. Like Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, thou hast lied unto the Holy Spirit. And because you've lied to the Holy Ghost, he said, then, as he said to one as to the other, after one was dead, he said, they that took this one out shall also take thee out. And immediately they died. Like a preacher told me one time, he said, they did die. He said, but they didn't go to hell. I said, you mean to tell me that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, just lying as people one to another? And then a man that lies to the Holy Ghost didn't go to hell? I said, sure, they went to hell. Of course they went to hell. The Bible said eternal judgment. And when Peter spoke, that was eternal judgment. Immediately they were dead. They were gone. They were eternally taken away. And so it is with you and I. We're going to meet an eternal judgment as to whether good or bad. And that eternal judgment is going to begin in the house of God. For the Bible said, and judgment shall begin in the house of God. And whosoever sins the minister remits shall be remitted. And whosoever sins the minister retained shall be retained. Whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He beareth not the sword in vain, but he is God's minister, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, or he is set there to bless the righteous. For he hath the power to bless, he hath the power to curse. Servants amongst the light don't believe that. Well, that's because you don't believe what Brother Taylor was preaching when he said, and God shall bring up upon the mountain saviors as to more than one, saviors in the plural. And you don't believe the scripture where the Bible said, and know ye that convert a soul, ye have saved a soul from hell. Saving a soul from hell is a savior. For you have saved a soul from hell. And as to get down to the particulars about it, as we would say, I'm born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And so is everyone that loves God. And if they are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then are they the Savior according to the measure of whatever God has invested in them. As to go out and be ambassadors for Christ, as from that world to this world, and to go out and to mediate to this extent that we are in his stead beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ, praying that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. So then are we the ministers of God, and so then do we bring the judgments of God. Just as any judge that sits in the courtroom, so does he bring the judgment, so does he execute the law, and so is the penalty upon the people that he brings it upon. And so it shall be that even the judge will tell you that once he decrees a thing, it's made law, and he himself cannot change it. It is thus law. I know that for sure because I've been to a judge to try to get him to change something. And he told me at that time, the best I remember, that he would if he could. He said, but I can't. Once we do it, it's law. It can't be changed. Not even we can change it. All right, so then you come to the house of God. And when we preach these words, you accept it as to one side of life, as to believing that it's right. Or you accept it as to the other side of life. Or discrediting, as to discredit is to take it into your mind and not believe this, as to put it into your lifestyle and enact it into your life, and thus you're gone if you take that side of life. If you take the other side of life to believe it, then your faith has made you whole, and then you go away translated into the wonderful kingdom of God. But if you do not believe it, as to enact it in your life, and if you do not enact it in your life, it's certainly that you do not believe it. And if you do not believe it, you go away as a heathen and a publican. The Bible teaches that even if a brother does wrong, a sister does wrong, if they be considered a brother or sister, go to them, the Bible said, and talk with them and try to get them reconciled. If they will not be reconciled, take with you one or two others, that everything may be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then after you take the two or three witnesses, if they fail to hear the two or three witnesses, then bring it before the church and give them a chance. And if they fail to hear the church, then let them be unto you as a heathen and a publican. Because God will not have anything to do with them if they fail to hear the church. And the Bible said concerning them that do evil, it says, purge out the old leaven and be a new lump. Leave them alone in the world and let them grow together as in the field, as to the tare and the wheat. But in the church it said, purge out the old leaven, be a new lump. Know ye not that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? And that is to say, if you've got a tree and you've got a bad limb on it, cut it off. Do something for that tree. If you leave the rot on there, it will get down into the heart of the tree, and after a while it will kill the whole tree. And Paul spoke of this as to one that had committed fornication among the church. He said, why did not you get them out? Why didn't you turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the body of Christ might be saved? Oh, that is to say, if one do these things, then turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the whole body doesn't perish. I know a lot of people interpret that by saying, well, when somebody does wrong, we turn them over to the devil, and when the devil gets through with them, he gives them back to us, you know, and then they are a straight feller, and they go on with God, and they stop their foolishness. Because the Bible speaks in one place where Paul turned some over to the devil, saying, I'll turn them over to the devil that they'll learn not to blaspheme. But brothers and sisters, that's not what the Lord was saying. The Lord was saying, cut off the rotten limb. Get the person out. Get the fornicator out. Said, because if you don't do it, then the whole church
will be contaminated to the extent that two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And when you allow for this, then you are agreeing with this. And when you agree with this, the Spirit of God will withdraw from the whole church body and the whole entire church dies, because the life will not stay there just as if you leave one rotten limb on a tree. The life will leave and the whole tree will die. All right, so then we need to go into perfection. We need to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. We need to mortify the deeds of the body. We need to turn away from the flesh. We need to get down to business with God and keep subduing and keep subduing until this body completely is subjected to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which God considers a reasonable service unto Him, in that He did so much for you. All right, so we see that we need to perfect our ways before God. Man needs to perfect his way before God. Now, a lot of things we could say there that would just be confusing to you because you couldn't put it all together tonight. But maybe we'll take the other side of the picture one night and explain again to you as to what we mean as to perfection. Let's stand together, can we? Sing this old song, brother. All the things that I have and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, O Lord. Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, oh Lord. Sing that with me now. Nothing I've ever done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand, but He walked the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. Can you say that with me? So roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where He brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and a human forget. So remind me. Can you sing that again to me? Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans fall. So remind me, remind me, oh Lord. We have to ask the Lord to remind us. We do forget. We do forget. But we shouldn't forget, but we do forget. And then as quick as we remember, we go to the Lord and we ask Him to help us, that we walk with Him and love Him. Listen to me, children of God. Don't place your affection on the flesh as to man to wife and wife to man, and on the children and on money. Place your affection on Jesus. Have the love of God and love your family with the love of God, and keep your affection set on heaven and the things of heaven, and be an individualist as just belonging to God. And don't give your heart to anybody except Jesus. No one at all except Jesus. And then love all humanity with the love of God, and everything will be well with you. Everything will be well with you. Otherwise, you're in for great disappointment. Let's sing this little song together, Brother Taylor. Give me another key. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Sing that with me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold, land of thousand streams. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah Land, my home, sweet home. Sing it again now. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Sing it one more time. Is that the lights of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Alright, the altars are open. Let's sing another little chorus together, can we? Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went home to tell. Went away singing, and she came back a bringing others to the water. Gave her some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. Went away
a bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave us some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave us some water. She went for it. Went away singing, and she came back to bring others to the water that wasn't from the well. Let's sing this little song together, Kelly. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing it with me. For after all of life is over and my and I stand upon the mountain, oh, so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. I love him, I love him, all because that he first loved. Salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. Loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I am the Lord God that healeth thee, that forgiveth all of thine iniquities. And I heal all of your diseases. And if we believe that, then that's the way that it is. No changes, no alterations, the same to 1,000 generations. Our sins are gone. Let's sing that little chorus. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Can you sing it? Nine. By the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I will praise Him, my heart. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has to wear. Can you sing it again? I will praise Him. My will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, for His blood has washed away every stain. While we sing it one more time, so I'm going to ask our brother Howard from California to come and dismiss us tonight, if he will. And while Howard's coming, let's praise the Lord. Can we? Can you take the Lord into your heart, into your life? Will you come, Brother Howard?